Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center. Chaplain Sean Denzer is preaching a series of sermons through the Catechism for the first 3 weeks of Advent. Today, we begin with confession. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have Luther's Small Catechism handy, I encourage you to follow along today in the fifth chief part, Confession. You can also find it at catechism.cph.org. Confession is the odd man out in the Catechism. It shares space with the Office of the Keys. Confession is quite free, while absolution, which it's not named for, is actually what Christ commanded. And there's also this question of whether we should consider the absolution to belong to the Word or to the sacraments, which it kind of nestles in between them logically. That's a question really of little consequence. What's important is to do it, to do and to receive the gifts that God gives to us. But that's mostly what makes confession awkward, that we have avoided it. And that is to our peril and to our shame. It has now been unused by many for a whole lifetime. Pastors have even avoided teaching this part of the catechism, either because they misunderstood it or because they themselves never heard about it or saw it done or practiced it themselves. Well, dear Christians, the time to rediscover the fifth chief part is now. The place to admit your faults is not in public on Facebook for the world to see. No wonder we are so fearful of judgment from others. We invite it. At the same time, we don't fear God's judgment at all. No wonder we become stubborn. We double down on our sins. We even boast of them almost, instead of repenting and being refreshed only by the forgiveness of sin from Christ, which is the real purpose of the Christian church. And so many don't realize that that purpose is even there. First, we must see that repentance, having our sins exposed by God's law, acknowledging them and admitting them, and then turning from them, away from them and toward Christ, is a daily part of the Christian life. Confession and absolution flows as the natural, obvious thing after the fourth part of baptism. The daily baptism indicates we drown our sinful nature and we rise again with Christ to a new life. To repent is to return to that promise. So likewise, it's not our returning or changing of mind that makes us pure again or washes us clean. Of course not. God does this. He declares us to be righteous. Christ forgives us and washes us clean. So when I urge you to go to confession, then, I am simply urging you to be a Christian. If you were to ask what repentance looks like, the answer is obvious. Admitting our sin. Agreeing with God's law when it exposes me. That's confession. If you were to ask what forgiveness looks like, well, God be praised, the Lord delivers his blood-bought forgiveness in many ways. But the most obvious form of forgiveness is simply to hear someone say to me, "You are forgiven for Christ's sake." That's an absolution. Confession, then, has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And then, second, that we receive absolution. This is just like David confronted by the prophet Nathan. At last he admitted, "I've sinned against the Lord." In the very same verse in my Bible, Nathan says, "The Lord has put away your sin." Those are the two parts. What sin should we confess? Before God, we plead guilty of all sins, even those that we're not aware of. like we do in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses. All of them. This is a general confession of all sin, not a specific confession of any individual sins. We also do the very same thing at the beginning of our divine service. Publicly and generally, we confess our sins together, but not mentioning any particular sins. Psalm 19 says, who can discern his errors? It's a rhetorical question. Nobody can. It would be impossible then to ask someone to count out every last sin. There are sins that we just don't even understand and don't even realize. It's never a requirement before God, much less a requirement before any other Christian, that we need to count them all out and remember them all and say them all out loud. This is almost as if we could trigger grace by doing this. Even so, you and I both know how good we are at playing games with ourselves. We lie to ourselves almost constantly. We try to cover up our own sins, even to ourselves, like Adam and Eve, as if that's going to hide from God. This is why it is of great value, then, to be specific. Sure, we have enough corruption in us to be overwhelmed in general all the time, but Christians, most Christians, are haunted by very particular failings. Sometimes they think they should tell the world about them. Well, confession, individual confession, in fact, is mercifully private. And that's why, as the Catechism says, before the pastor, we confess only those sins that we know and feel in our hearts. There's no need to make any up, either to fill a quota or to add to our mess. But this is the place to work on specific sins, to talk about these and to realize them and to admit them, where the pastor, in fact, can speak and aid us, which is what his task is. The Lord actually desires truth in the inward parts, as our psalm said. And he prevails, it says, when he brings us to confess and to admit the truth about ourselves, even when this truth is the dark truth of our sin. Okay, so how do we learn our sins aright? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. The devil hates this. The devil wants you bouncing constantly between total success and total failure. We can even hear ourselves saying that to people sometimes. That's not much of a helpful or an accurate confession. Rather, your faults and your omissions follow your vocations according to the Ten Commandments. God's Word has instruction to do, even as it exposes our sins. It produces a frank admission of sin instead of this wild self-flagellation of failure and success all in the same moment. Notice in the Catechism what sort of sins, by the way, Luther envisioned us confessing. It's not an extraordinary gift that is to be reserved only for really bad sins, the big ones, or the ones that haunt you night after night. It's good for those too. But Luther envisions that this is an everyday ordinary thing, especially for those everyday ordinary recurring sins. Now, confessing sins is nothing other than telling the truth about them according to God's Word. Confess is an out loud word, by the way. It's a dark truth indeed that we probably don't want to say out loud. And yet the Lord rejoices to have us brought onto His side, onto the side of the truth, finally, instead of being liars, a truth against those sins. Then, however, comes the real and the greater value, the greater truth, even than our sin, the absolution. Everything that we learned yesterday about the office of the keys is seen most simply and clearly in this, that Christ, by the voice of His minister, forgives you. He declares and delivers what His blood won for you to you. And what is said on earth you are to know and to believe is certain also in heaven. It says judgment day's verdict sounding early. And we all need that. Because even though the Lord was clear and truthful enough in our baptism, even though we hear it echoed in the scriptures, in the preaching all the time, sometimes we still miss it anyway. Sometimes we push all these things aside, or the devil convinces us, that's not really for me. It's not really for what I have done. Well, individual absolution has this particular value. There's no escape. Now, that can be terrifying, believe me. But it is well worth that terror to hear that you also cannot escape Christ's forgiveness. Your sins, that sin, that terrible thing even, can't escape His cross. That's why I urge you to go to confession. Now, since we are so unfamiliar with this, I must say a little more today to help you see what this looks like so that you will not be so afraid and so that you will be encouraged to grab your pastor by the ear and ask him to hear your confession and to absolve you, to exercise individually for you that loosing key that we heard about yesterday from John 20. And if you never have done this, to put it bluntly, you just aren't getting your money's worth out of your pastor. This is his job. It's his only job, frankly, to forgive sins. And this is his job done now in the most simple, personal, and concrete way possible. To just forgive your sins. Now, your pastor can listen and he can speak God's word, his gospel to you anywhere. But the most ideal place for this is your church. Maybe even at your communion rail where you kneel or come to receive the Holy Sacrament. The form of individual confession and absolution also can be done in almost any way, but I can't improve on Luther's form in the Catechism, and I think it's a fine starting place. It's also in the Lutheran Service Book on page 292, a form that's based on it, and you may benefit in the next few minutes by following along. Now, unlike every other service, you, not me, not the pastor, you have the first word in confession. Your conscience is what brings you when it is in need. It's not by your pastor's compulsion that you have to confess, in fact, ever. Thus, you are the one who must begin it all. Pastor, please hear my confession and pronounce forgiveness in order to fulfill God's will. Now, this is already the terms of confession, and they are confessing an amazing truth. The truth is this: God wants me to be forgiven. It is His will, we say, that I hear Christ's forgiveness pronounced over the truth of my sins. And since that is the case, since your sins were nailed to Christ's cross and buried in His tomb forever, that means that your pastor's ear will also be that grave where your confession will die, never to rise again. Your pastor has vowed never to divulge the sins confessed to him, not even by obscuring the name of who committed them. Now, if he fears God at all, then he knows that he will bring those sins on himself if he ever dares to utter them to anyone again. This is a violation of what forgiveness means. It means that sins are taken away by Christ. And that is what you, Christian, believe no matter what. Then you are free to confess what you know, what the commandments have exposed and revealed to you in you. You don't need to explain why. Trust me, there is no justification for sin. Only Christ's forgiveness can justify it, can do away with it. And that is the very thing that you have come to hear. The pastor here will say very little. His duty is to listen. It's not to interrogate. If he asks you anything at all, it will only be to instruct your conscience gently. He will not judge you. But so what even if he did? He isn't the judge. You know that. It is a fearful thing to stand before the living God. If you're afraid, and I suspect that you will be, fear God. Don't fear your pastor. And remember, though, what God you are returning to and why. This is the one who wills that you be forgiven. This is the one who sent his son to accomplish it. So let your fears be removed. Practically, it's very helpful to let your pastor know when you are finished, since it's his discipline to wait and to listen, not to interrupt you. I'm sorry for all of this, whatever it was, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. Now, there is one question that is essential, so usually the pastor will ask it, and that's, do you believe? Do you believe that the forgiveness that that pastor is speaking isn't his, but is God's forgiveness, his own forgiveness? Do you believe what Jesus said in John 20, as we heard yesterday, that if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven, that those who hear his ministers hear his voice? Yes. Or maybe no, in which case it's your pastor's duty to speak God's word to you again, to strengthen, to create faith in you, and to see what the Lord promises, that you will believe it and receive it. Or, how about this godly answer? I believe, help my unbelief, Lord. Amen. Now, if you are comfortable, the pastor will usually then put his hands on your head, and he will absolve you directly. By the command of Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. And this is true, that your sins are forgiven. Even if you still feel shame or sorrow afterwards, even if you continue to struggle against this thing, in fact, especially if you continue to struggle against this sin. So by all means, dear Christian, give the boldest amen to that absolution that you can muster, because this is true. And the pastor will know other passages of Scripture with which to comfort you and your conscience. And he will almost certainly urge you to come to the Lord's Supper as soon as you are able. And we will begin to learn about that great gift tomorrow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Paul Ferguson, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.